Good to see everyone who's here today. I'm glad you're able to make it out, and I hope you've been enjoying this beautiful weather we're having. Compared to the middle of the summer last year, when we were regularly hitting over at or just under 100 degrees, it's been just lovely. If you were able to come out yesterday to the get-together at Carteret Park, we had a great time, good food, good times, and we had pretty good turnout. I think we had somewhere around 45, maybe even 50 people at one point there, but a lot of people were out, and that's good. We will be having another get-together at after evening services at our house the second Sunday in August, and so that's on the board out there. Keep that in mind. A couple other announcements I wanted to make. One, I noticed Doug and Joan are here. Joan has not been feeling the best, but she's better, and so it's good to see them. And also, if you're interested in the follow-up meeting, that is the follow-up to the business meeting, it's going to take place just after, and James can correct me if any of this is wrong, but just after services this morning. And if you're interested in that, please see James. But the follow-up meeting, especially some of you ladies and so forth, if you're interested, see James, and that will take place this morning after services. Without any further delay, let's get into the lesson. And you'll notice I asked a question. I did in the bulletin when I announced this this particular lesson. Why do today, and of course the completion of the quote is, what you can put off until tomorrow. The whole idea of procrastination, the whole idea of putting things off, we have a task at hand, and if you're like I have been, I am a whole lot better at this, so I feel pretty good preaching the lesson this morning. But there is a time when I would have been saying, boy, this lesson is for me, especially. But why do today what you can put off until tomorrow? Procrastination, technically defined, is the practice of doing what is more pleasurable instead of doing what is less pleasurable, or of giving preference to less urgent tasks than more urgent ones. I need to study for my exam tonight, and I need to check my emails. Guess which one I'm doing first? So the idea of doing less urgent things so we can put off the more urgent things. Or in short, it is putting off. And that's the key terms that we'll talk about this morning. Putting things off. Putting off what needs to be done. And sometimes we put things off to the last minute. And if you're like I was when I went through all of my time in school, I put things off until the deadline. Literally, if there was a term paper, and even in seminary, when there was a thesis to be done, even when it got to the point that I had to sit at a typewriter almost 2 days straight. Yeah, typewriter, that's way ancient history. But even when it got to the point I had to sit there nearly two days straight, I still was putting it off to the deadline. Unfortunately for many people, if you get into that practice, that cycle, and you never break it, some things you will find yourself putting off forever. So when we're talking about, and we are focusing on this year, making changes, the man in the mirror, I'm the man in the mirror, I'm looking into the Word of God, I'm taking it into my heart, I know the changes I need to make, I don't want to put off changing forever. I don't want it to be one of those things. I was talking downstairs in class, and I just crossed a weight limit, a weight point, if you want to call it that. I just crossed one of my goals. I haven't been there for 24 years. That's an incredible thing, and I mean that literally. I haven't weighed what I weigh today for 24 years. So you can understand that this process of getting to the most unhealthy point I was, it literally was about a 29-year process. I know exactly when it started. I know what happened. My point in saying all of that is, I meant to be in a lot better shape all the way back in my 20s. I meant to do what I'm doing now, but I kept putting it off. And if you're not careful, you will put things off forever. So we don't want to do that. Let's talk about it for a moment. Here I am. I'm contemplating something that needs to change. I've identified it. I know what needs to change in my life. Why do it today? Maybe it's something as trivial and in the overall spiritual sense I suppose studying for a test or writing an essay paper or whatever it might be is trivial. Maybe it's as simple as, you know, and simple, not necessarily trivial, mind you, but as simple as my relationship with my husband or wife needs to be better. And I mean to start a habit of coming in and, you know, just saying some nice little thing, romancing my wife again, like I used to do 20 years ago. Maybe it's something like that, but why do it today? You know what happens a lot of times, let's take me in school. And I can remember a lot of classes, and most of the things I'm going to put up here grow out of what I know that I used to think and I used to say, especially in some of those classes. I would say, first of all, it's not that important, especially with related to doing it today. I'd go in a class, I'd start a class. I would be, especially in seminary, typically in the Bible classes, there was, you know, you were expected, quote unquote, to read sometimes as much as two or three complete books before you ever came to class. They wanted you to have that material. They wanted you to be familiar. They wanted you to join in discussions. And so leading up to the class, I would be always thinking, I need to get started. I need to do that reading. But it's not that important today. It's not that important for me to do it. And so I would say things like that. Sometimes I would say, you know, it stresses me out. I mean, I have a lot going on. And you have to understand that I was preaching at that time, full time. And I also had a little nephew at that time that I was trying to be mom and, I'm talking about preschool nephew, I was trying to be mom and dad to that little nephew and go to school full time. That didn't leave me much time for anything. And the truth is, most of the time, night and day, I was stressed out. And so when I started thinking about something that needed to be done, going and doing that task just stressed me out even further, and so it got put off. Sometimes I would say, and I really felt this way, it's not fair. I mean, for a guy to ask you to do, and some of the things that we did and we were asked to do, and I can see benefit in it, mind you, even now. But at the time, meticulously outlining some book like Acts in the Bible didn't seem fair for one class and one small percentage of the grade. It's not fair what you're asking me to do. And I don't like it. You know, there are things that I just don't enjoy. We go back to the whole weight thing and so forth. You know, there are a lot of things about what I'm doing now that if you ask me, do you like it, I'd say, I don't. I don't like it. I love the results, okay? But I don't like what I'm doing. Sometimes about some things. It doesn't matter. I don't like it. And so if I'm not careful, that becomes a great big excuse because I want to please me. I want to feel good. I want to have fun. I'm just like any other human being. So what I like and what I don't like are debates I have to have every day. You know, it's kind of like when your parent used to say, when the kids would say, I don't like going to school. And I, you know, boy, I think back to that time. And, you know, my grandmother or my mom or someone saying to me, well, I don't like getting up and going to work. I don't like cleaning the toilet. You know, that kind of thing. But you do things you have to do. Well, what happens when we procrastinate is we let that take precedence. I get distracted. And that's fair, isn't it? I mean, I've got to, every week, I've got to prepare a PowerPoint like you see right here most every week. And I know that I have to get it done, and it's always in my mind. It will be in my mind even tonight as we finish services that next Sunday such and such has to be done. Well, I may start to do it, and someone might call on the telephone, or whatever it might be. Someone may come by. I get distracted, or any of a host of other things may happen. I get distracted. And what happens is I allow the distraction to grow into letting me, not just taking a distraction and coming back to the task, but to grow into really putting things off. Now, like I said, I'm a lot better at that. But there was a time when the distractions would pile up all week long, and then what's happening is Saturday or late Saturday night, Wes can relate to this, other people can relate to this. You're scrambling trying to get everything done, And I don't like that. So I've learned how to not get distracted and get the things done so you can relax a little bit. So you come in here fresh and all of that kind of thing. And here's the big one. And wait for it. Because this was my biggest excuse for waiting till that last minute to do every, and I want you to understand, every single term paper I ever did, in high school, in college, in seminary, there's not one exception to this, every single one, and I said the same thing to justify waiting till the last minute. I work better under pressure. I can tell you can relate to that too. So I ask the question, is this me? I know what I have to get done in life, and you know what you have to get done. It doesn't matter if you're 12 years old here today, or you're 62, or 92. There are things you have to get done. Is that you? Are you saying the same, maybe the exact same things, or some of the same similar things to this? Are you saying that? Is this me? Why do it today? Let's talk about it for a moment. Do I procrastinate? Well, honestly, that's been a lifelong bad habit of mine to procrastinate. I'm better. I'm not, by any stretch of the imagination, perfect. So do I procrastinate? No, life is brief. And one of the things that helps you when you get older, one of the benefits of getting older, is that this becomes more real. Let's look at the passage again that Wes just read. Turn back with me to Psalm 90. I'm not going to reread the whole thing. And I'm sure that it is a familiar passage to you anyway. And certainly some lines out of it we even sing, like I'll fly away and that kind of thing. But let's look at Psalm 90 and notice something that Moses said here in this psalm. Go down with me to verse 9. There are a couple of interesting things. Certainly all our days are passed away. But notice how he says they're passed away in God's wrath. That God is looking at me, and I want you to understand, God is looking at me and judging me for how I spend my day. Not just, you know, I think in terms of judgment, and I most often think in terms of judgment as what will happen at the end of time. But this is telling me God is looking at every day. Michael, how are you spending today? I've given it to you. What are you doing with it? We spend our years as a tale that is told. And that's how brief life is. And we may even add this passage in James 4. Life is a vapor, like a tale that's told. You think of the story of someone's life, and it's no longer sometimes than a short story, or certainly no longer than a book, a biography you pick up or read on Kindle or whatever it might be. But we spend our years quickly. But notice as he goes on, sure he says, yeah, 70 or 80 years, etc., they're soon cut off, we fly away. But look down at verse 11. Focus on that with me for a moment. Who knows the power of your anger? Anger with respect to what? Final judgment? Surely. But is he also talking about maybe the growing anger or the growing wrath? And this is something I've really thought about. How God may grow more and more angry with me each day that I waste. Each day that I put things off. Each day that I allow changes to not be made in my life. Is God more and more angry? And is that anger growing in God toward me? His wrath growing? Notice as he goes on here. Who knows the power, the strength of your anger? Even according to your fear, so is your wrath. That's interesting the way he says that. Do I respect it? Do I fear God? Do I fear him being angry, upset with me, disapproving of me? And with something as simple, you know, we tend to trivialize things like procrastination. I mean, lying is a huge sin. But procrastinating and wasting a day, not so much. But yet, is God looking at me and saying, you could have done so much more with this day? It could have been a step toward the life I want for you, and you're wasting it. Notice as Moses concludes this, teach us to number our days. I think what Moses is saying there is, God help me, teach me, so that every day becomes important. So that every day I number it. I take account of it. I look at what should be done and what I'm doing in it. So that every day I use it to my advantage and to my ability. Teach me to number my days, that I may apply my heart to wisdom. That I may get wiser about life. That I'm not like in James 4, and I'm not going to turn there, but I know you know the passage. That I'm not the person that boastfully says, hey, tomorrow I'll do it. Next week I'll get it done. You know, that's what happens to us when we procrastinate. I've got that term paper to do, sure. But Andy calls me up and says, hey, you want to run here with me or run there with me? And a lot of you know Andy Owen. And we used to do all this running around. And sure, let's go run around. Let's go do this thing that we enjoy doing rather than me getting done what I need to get done. What happens when we procrastinate is we're like James 4 talks about, of boasting what we'll do tomorrow or next week. And what James is warning us, what God is warning us in this passage, in that passage, and others, is you're not guaranteed tomorrow. But even worse than that, even if you do get tomorrow, the pattern of life you're creating for yourself, what you're practicing of all of this procrastinating and putting off, is destroying your life. You're getting worse and worse and worse. I'll give you another example, and this is the last one I'll say about the weight today. But I look back over that 29 years. I look back over the last 31. The last two have been good, okay? The last 29 before that, what happened was I was putting it off. And my situation was getting worse and worse and worse. Not only was I adding more pounds, up and down, yes, but overall, more pounds, more pounds, more pounds. But I was getting sicker and more unhealthy and more immobile and more unable to do all the things that God wanted me to be doing. That's what happens in life. And you can, next week I'm going to start it. Boy, Monday morning I'm going to get at it. Next month, I'm going to hit the ground running first day of the month. You can do that for a whole lifetime. And God is saying, turn to me and let me teach you to be wise, to number your days, to learn how to spend them. Do what you know now. Galatians chapter 6, when Paul said, as we therefore have opportunity. You know, you have to face reality sometimes, and that reality is you're going to reach a point of no return about whatever it is in life. If you don't change it and you don't get started now, there's going to come a time when you're going to go past the point of no return. God speaks of it, and He speaks of it often. And that point that you reach, where there's no turning back, where you'll, for example, with it, you'll destroy your health and you can't get it back. When you cross that point, it's over. It's just like the deadline that came and went and the term paper didn't get turned in, or the studying didn't get done, or the task at work didn't happen, and you got fired. There's a point of no return. Do what you know now, while you have the opportunity. Why do it today? Because as a Christian, I've got to learn to be fervent in spirit. Let's look at the positive side of it. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Here's what should describe me as a Christian. Whatever I'm doing, I don't care if it's going to school or it's working some job or it's trying to lose weight or be a better husband or wife. Whatever you're doing, God would teach us to be fired up about it. And that takes work, okay? Versus, I ain't fired up about it. Get fired up about it. Get fervent in spirit, because God commands it. And this is something I had to learn. You know, going around every day, I understand getting down. I have a problem with that. You know, it's a weakness of mine. Getting down, getting depressed, etc., etc., etc. What you have to do is change it. And so God commands it. Not slothful in business. There are a lot of reasons to be lazy. Some of them are you just are lazy. And other reasons are there are so many things that are going wrong with what you're trying to do, it does drag you down. It does make you sluggish. But yet God says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. Literally, the word fervent means to be fired up. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So that's my command. God is telling me right here that I need to be a fired up individual about whatever it is I'm doing. If you've got a wife, be fired up about it. You know, go to work on romancing her and making the best marriage you can have. If you've got a child, be a good father. You know, God is saying, don't just look at it like, you know, I don't feel like it and everything's going wrong. I know what that feels like. And I know what it feels like to feel that way, so you back off and you don't do what you need to do. I understand that. I doubt anyone in this room has a worse problem with that than I do. And that's just a confession. But I also understand that God commands being fired up. That God commands serving Him in every aspect of your life. And you have to do what it takes. And one of the things you've got to do is to do it today. You can say to yourself, you know, when my circumstances change, Montel and I will have a better marriage. You can say that till the day you die and you never will. Or you can start changing it today. And you will have a better and better marriage. That's the idea that God is telling us. In passages like Ecclesiastes, I'm not going to turn there and read it. But if you turn there, and I know you know this verse. A lot of jokes are made about it sometimes. Let's not make jokes about it today. A live dog is better than a dead lion. He says, I think that's verse 5. In verse 10 he says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. Your strength. Now you know I might not be as strong today as I might grow to be tomorrow. That's not important. God is saying whatever you have found that you need to do today, do it today with all of the strength you have today. And if you will do that and make that a practice of life, you will find you perform better and better and better, and you will get stronger and stronger and stronger. That's just the way things work. Or the opposite will be the case. It's like Jesus saying in John 9. Turn over to John 9 and verse 4. And this is when He had just escaped, if you look at the end of chapter 8, He had just escaped being stoned by the Jews. And chapter 9 opens up, and as He passed by. So you can imagine a situation where you're literally running from a mob that's trying to kill you, and you pass by a guy that needs help. As He passed by, He sees this guy blind. He stops to help him. And the disciples begin to distract Him with, why is the guy blind? Why does he deserve to be blind? Jesus makes the point, He's blind for us to be here today and me to help Him today. Notice how He embraces the situation there. Now look at verse 4. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no one, no man can work. You hear the urgency in Jesus? I've got the opportunity to help this guy now. You can hear His disciples. Man, you're running from a mob that's trying to kill you. No. I've got the opportunity to do this right now. And my job, my service, what I am supposed to be doing is doing the work now. Because the time is coming, it's really coming quickly, when I won't be able to do the work. And that's really true, isn't it? And it's true for me and you, just like it was for Jesus. The night is far spent, the Bible tells us. I've got to do the job today. And if I'm 30 years old or 40 or 50, then I can start looking at life and say, well, I've wasted my opportunity. You can do that. And you can do it right on into your 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, or you can get to work today. Change it today. You know, I can remember back. I said I wouldn't do this, but I'm going to do one more. Because this is a good point that I made to me. I remember that day of looking in the mirror. That day of looking in the mirror. And I remember one of the things that I said was, you were going to get in shape back in your 20s when this started. Yeah, I was. And I remember feeling sad about it, tremendously sad. You wasted all that time. All that time when you would have felt like doing so many things that you really won't feel like doing again. And Satan began to work on me. What's the point? What's the use? And I had to put all of that away and say, wait a minute. I can't get my 20s back. But you know what I can do? I can get my 50s, you know, and my 60s. And I might can have some 70s I wouldn't have if I keep going like I'm going. The point is, you've got an opportunity now. Is it me to sit around all of the time and think about what might have been? Is it me to think about what I have to do and I don't want to do? Is it me to make excuses? Is it me? Is this me? Do I feel anxiety, stress, even crisis? Psychologists tell us that one of the greatest results of putting things off is a growing, intensifying anxiety of life. Am I stressed out? Am I even feeling like I'm in the midst of a crisis? Am I bored? You know, just with what I'm doing, my routine of life. Is there apathy? I just don't care anymore. Do I have a whole lot of guilt, like I was just talking about? You wasted your 20s, your 30s. Is there a lot of guilt in my life? Psychologists also say that you will really think about the loss of productivity. In other words, what I could have been doing, what I should have been doing, the accomplishments I could have made, and they're not there for me. And, you know, the idea of being honest about it. Why are they not? Do I feel disapproval or sense it from other people? They're not as pleased with me as they would be if I changed some things in life. Am I meeting my responsibilities or not? The commitments that I've made. Or not? Am I feeling like that? Am I feeling a sense of less self-worth? When I think of me like I thought of me at 18 years old, when I felt the most productive and active and everything, I was accomplishing things in life and all of that, look back at a time when you were and compare that to where you are right now. How do you feel about you? You know, the Bible teaches us to love ourselves. Not just other people, not just God. But it teaches you to love yourself. If I don't love me, I don't feel worth very much. Why is that? What's happened? And it's part of it because I've not done today what I need to do. Finally, psychologists say that in the end, a person who procrastinates, just keeps putting off and putting off and putting off, will have a self-defeating mentality. It's kind of like, capsulize it down to a course maybe that you failed in school or whatever it might be, or a job that you lost. When you knew what you had to do, but you kept putting it off, you wouldn't do it, and finally you went past the deadline and you failed. What happens is things like that build in us until we have a self-defeat. Anything we start to ever do, immediately the mechanisms kick in and tell us we're not going to do them. It tells us to put off, to go about doing everything like we've always done it. And what happens is we defeat ourselves. Now, finally, and let's take a look at it. The man in the mirror. What does God say? In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 through 17, there's some interesting phrases. The Bible says, walk circumspectly. Carefully look at things. In detail look at them. That's the whole idea of gazing into the mirror. In that passage, the Bible tells us to understand what the will of the Lord is. That's the idea of receiving God's word into me. What do I need to be doing? How should I see myself? And finally, the Bible tells us in that passage to redeem the time. Like I said, I wish I had eaten like I eat now in my 20s. I wish that I was doing what I'm doing now when I was 26 years old. I wish that. It's not going to happen. That time is gone. But I'll tell you something. There comes a point in time where you've got to look at yourself and you've got to say, enough. No more. But you've got to say to yourself, I'm buying back the time I would continue to lose. I'm buying it back. I may not get my 20s back, but my 50s, my 60s, whatever, are going to be so much more productive than they ever would have been because of the changes I'm going to make. It'll affect every part of my life because learning the process affects every part of your life. You get your schoolwork in order. You get your job work in order. You get your marriage in order or what you do with your kids in order, and it will affect every part of your life. So it really doesn't matter what you go to work on right now. The fact that you go to work on it will change you as you work your plan now. You're here today and you're not a Christian. Come to Jesus and let Him help you. Let Him give you the strength. Let Him help you to change things today. Believe in Him. Confess your belief in Him. Change. Be willing to change. Be willing to start today. Be baptized for forgiveness of your sins. Wash them away. Wash the past away. Let the Lord do that. And start all over again. And if you're here today and you are a child of God and you just, like TJ mentioned earlier, you need to rededicate. You need to start all over again. Then make today the day you do that. While we stand.